let me open up in a word of prayer. Lord, today as we consider service in your church, God, we first consider Christ, God, who without him we would have no church. God, through Christ we have been reconciled to you, and you have called us together. You have gathered us. God, we thank you today for showing us Christ so that we may serve one another. God, I pray as we go through this lesson today that we would be stirred up to serve one another in our various seasons and in various ways. God, that we may make Christ known and visible to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are back in Living as a Church, our series we have been going through since
June.
So we're continuing our second part of our class with the overall theme of fostering unity in the church. So we're going to be talking about serving. And so definition for serving, spending yourself, your time, your gifts, your resources, your energy, all that you have for the good of the church. And Christ's service to us is our model. It is our marching orders in this. Mark 10:45 says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many." Jesus calls us to take up his cross and follow him. Our service to others then should be the result of an overflow of love from our hearts because of the love that God has shown us in Christ. And that's what unleashes ministry, the overflow of joy as we comprehend the incredible mercy which Christ has shown us. So let's start by asking just what are some ways that we serve each other in the church, that we've seen others serve us in the church?
People who serve
him. Yes.
Our people who serve in childcare.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. That's right. Trust me, you are well served by Grace being in another room on a different floor.
Folks like Bill mow our lawn, pull our weeds.
Absolutely. Yeah, tending to our grounds.
And over here, Josh preparing.
Yeah, absolutely, right? If we just listen, we can be here all day. There are many, many, there might be infinite ways in which we can serve each other and have seen each other serve each other in the church. So this morning, we'll consider how God has called us to serve one another through our various gifts, and how that service contributes to the unity of the body. Because unity is an important part of our witness, right? A community full of people who joyfully serve one another should stick out in our world. So we're going to start with a theology of service and walk through four ways in which service contributes to unity. And along the way, we'll stop and pause and consider a couple of different ways that our service can go wrong and fail to glorify God. So my hope is that our discussion this morning will spur us on to serve each other more and more for God's glory and our good. So let's start. Look at Acts 6, 1 through 7. Can someone read Acts 6, 1 through 7?
"Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by Annas arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles as they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith.
Thanks. So how did this serving here foster unity?
Because it allowed the elders to focus on the things that they needed to focus on.
Yeah. It allowed the elders to focus on prayer and the ministry of the word.
Better serve a group of people that were probably being underserved.
Yeah, absolutely. Serve a group of people that needed service, right? That needed food to be distributed. Yeah. Yeah, so we see that that service here brought unity, right? We see growth, right? The church is strengthened through this service, and it affects the whole church. The whole church grows and is more unified by this service. So let's look at a theology of service. So we're going to look at this verse and outline a theology of service that we see first in this passage, but we'll be looking at a number of different passages. So can someone read 1 Peter, maybe on this half of the room, 4, 10, and 11.
As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're gonna look at this verse and see that this is really a summary of a theology of service within the church. So in here we see who is gifted.
Everyone,
right? As each, right? Everyone. And everyone has received this gift, right? It's not just for church leadership to serve, not just for the those who fulfill the office of deacon and elder. No, it is for each. Second, where does the gift to serve come from?
God's varied grace.
Yeah, right? God's varied grace, right? This gift to serve is not something that just everybody has. It is a gift of God's varied grace. Is our use in the church of this optional?
No.
No, where do we see that in here?
Not if we are good stewards.
Yeah, right? Good stewards. Good stewards, we need to use it, right? As each, we need to use it as good stewards, right?
As we receive it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But we know that each has received. what do we use our gifts for?
God's glory.
Yeah, God's glory. Yep.
To serve one another.
Yeah. Serve.
In the first verse, too.
Yep, serve one another, right? Yeah, so we are called to use it to benefit others for the glory of God, right? And what empowers our serving?
God's strength.
Yeah, God's strength.
Next to serve.
He carries
already. Okay.
Second serves.
Second serves.
The strength.
Man.
Right in the
middle. Right, there we go. This is why I'm not an elementary school teacher. Right? Strength, God, supplies.
Now it's three squares.
Yes, but it's visual, and hopefully this helps you guys remember it. So we see that each Christian is gifted. Everyone in the church is gifted. As a result of God's grace, we are responsible for that gift, right? We have been given that, not just to, you know, hide it under a bushel, but to use that gift for the benefit of others and the glory of God. And this gift is powered by God's strength. So as a Christian, there are some special manifestations of God's grace in you which can build up others in faith and bring glory to God. God chooses us to display His grace to others, right? He's using the gifts He gives us to display His grace to others. So what is the purpose of your service? Well, here we see, right, that God may be glorified. Let's look a little deeper in Ephesians 4:12. So I'm going to read Ephesians 4:12.
To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ.
And 13.
Sorry. Until we all attain to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Okay. So, here we see that Paul is stressing the goal of strengthening the whole body, right? Not just the parts. So we minister to each other with this view of not just helping each other mature, but with a view that the whole body grows in unity, right? We can do small ministries, right? What we might think of as small ministries, like cutting the grass or taking care of an elderly member. But if we think, are these building up the body? Well, yes, right? By displaying Christ to the whole body is granting us greater knowledge of who He is. So in our service, even in things that we might think are small or not widely visible to the whole congregation, we are displaying Christ. We are helping the body get a better knowledge for who Christ is. God gives gifts to all of us, according to His grace, to be exercised in His strength, not primarily as a means of fulfillment for each of us as individuals, but for the maturing of the church, that we might grow in unity. And again, that is our focus today, how our serving helps our unity. So that's the first point. This brings us to our first point of how service can be done wrong. So the person who feels entitled to serve is precisely the way they've been gifted, who fears that they can't find fulfillment as a Christian if they're not serving in that particular way, has misunderstood this passage. I see a lot of crossover between my job, right? And then in a technical field, you see lots of what we call siloing, that there's a person that will learn a certain part of the system, and they build that and own that, and then no one else knows how that thing works, right? Which is not what you want in a functioning system, right? You want things to be done in an understandable way so that it's not to the burden of one person to maintain that. There's a podcast I listen to about pastoring, and they frequently bring up the fact that when you become a pastor of a church, you should seek to be training your replacement, to be looking for your replacement, right? We don't want, as pastors or as servants in any area, to be a single point of failure for the body. We want to build a healthy body that can adapt to changes, can adapt to people being called to other locations, to go around the world, right, to pastor other churches, even in other continents. So the goal of service is strengthening the body, not personal fulfillment. So that means that we serve where the body needs strengthening. The fact that God gives us gifts to use in our service isn't supposed to limit us in what we do. It equips us to what needs to be done. So our service is important, but if we stop at just the act of service, we stop short, right? God doesn't actually need us to mow the grass, right? He could cause a drought, or he could have deer come and eat the grass to the right length, right? So stopping at just the service is missing. He chooses us to mow so that we can show Christ. We can be wrong about what gift or gifts we think God has given us. And it is far better for us to roll up our sleeves and get serving than to sit around and wonder what our gifts are, because the goal of service is unity. We discover our gifts as we serve. This is not to say that we might not have desires, right? That the Spirit might not be stirring us to serve in particular ways. But those ways might not happen immediately, right? And there may be other needs that need to be met. And so as we seek to build up the unity of the body, we should be seeking that even above our own desires. Any questions so far? All right, so let's talk about service that unifies. So our goal is not just to fill volunteer holes. Our goal is to serve in a way that builds up unity. So let's think about what that looks like. First, we should serve in God's strength with great joy. Our goal shouldn't be merely good deeds, but good deeds done in a spirit that comes from joyful dependence on God's help. And that's what glorifies God in particular, right? If we go back to verse 10 of 1 Peter 4, we see whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, right? God's strength supplying us joy to serve. So picture two people considering whether to come help clean a church, the church on a work day. Right, the one says, "Well, I'll go. You know, it might be worth a few brownie points with the leaders. I'm starting to get good at this sort of thing. I got the whole routine down. I'm gonna really impress some folks with how many weeds I'm able to pull up." So this person comes and grumbles about the tools and talks about on and on about his abilities. He works, but this work wasn't done on reliance in God's power, and his attitude lacks a spirit of joy and gratitude. His desire to impress others is a form of fear of man, really, right? And pride. He's serving not to glorify God. But consider a second person, right, who's also helping, hoping to help with the cleanup. Maybe they've been experiencing physical weakness lately. So they think to themselves, "Oh, how I would love to help clean the church. Maybe instead I could encourage some of the downhearted. Maybe I could just pour the coffee." So this person prays, and it turns out he feels well enough to go and help with the cleanup. Does what he can with a rag and a broom, and it does well. But above all, he exudes joy and a sense of gratitude that promotes unity and brings glory to God. So these examples are extreme, right? They're a little comical, but hopefully they highlight that what matters to God isn't merely that we use our gifts, but how we use them. And that is to be in cheerful reliance on Him. That's the attitude that we should have when we give our time or money or energy to the church. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, which is a verse about giving financially, we read, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." This verse applies to our service too, right? Too often we don't serve cheerfully, but merely out of guilt. We serve out of compulsion, something which this verse speaks against. But the Bible exhorts us to serve not out of duty, but because it is a fantastic opportunity to participate in building up of God's people to demonstrate Christ to the church. So this gets us to point number two of where service can go wrong, serving out of guilt rather than out of gratitude. So think of what guilt-driven service says about the things of God. It says they're not more value than other things, other priorities in our life. But we'll do them anyways because we have to. The difference between letting, if you think back to your childhood days of letting your perfume-laden Aunt Helga kiss you when you were a kid because you're supposed to, you had to go. And the difference between that and joyfully enduring a long journey to visit loved ones when you're an adult because the reward is more than worth the cost. So this raises a question in our mind. What if I don't have this attitude? What if I've got the crummy attitude? What if I've got the guilty attitude? What if my heart is cold to our service or partly motivated by guilt or fear of man? Should I abstain from giving my time and resources? Would it be hypocritical if I continue to serve? I think the answer is no. We shouldn't refrain from serving in the church, even though our joy may not always be great or our motives perfectly pure. Scripture commands us to give of ourselves. And while we should strive to give out of a joyful, grateful heart, we have to recognize that we're sinners and we can't do this perfectly. There's always some hint of that in our service. So, like everything in the Christian life, we do this imperfectly, but Lord willing, continue to grow in this area where we serve. So how do we solve this issue in our hearts?
Prayer,
right? Yeah, this is not an issue that we just, will come to some self-realized knowledge. No, we need God's intervention. So we can go to God in prayer. We should pray that God would help us to serve joyfully in his strength and that our motives become more and more pure. All right, I think of Mark 9:24, the man whose son has an unclean spirit. And he says to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief, right? There's an acknowledgement that he believes, he understands, but he knows that he's lacking. And so similarly, we can ask God to help us when we know our motives are weak.
How we started this class too, meditating on Jesus' service of us. I think all of us are motivated to serve as we receive service just in real life. This is also real life. But yeah, by our friends and family. So seeing the service that we have received from Jesus Christ motivates us then to serve him by serving his people.
Absolutely. Right, that's like a multiplying function too. As he has poured into our lives through others, we pour as representatives of him into other lives.
I think another thing that's important when you have that attitude or that approach, sometimes we have to look at it that maybe that's not where God calls us to be, right? Sometimes it's okay to say no. or to fill in temporarily.
Right.
And say, this is not really the area that I feel like I'm called to be in, but I can certainly fill in while, you find somebody, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And that's kind of that... also, as we opened up, considering avenues for service, right? There's not just a couple, right? There may be a couple that maybe routinely get printed in the bulletin, but there are look around. There are plenty of ways to serve. All right, so let's consider second point on service. We should serve in knowledge that everyone's service is needed and valuable. So one obstacle to the body of Christ functioning the way it should is when members feel useless and unimportant, which can lead to envy of otherness or of others or bitterness towards God. Paul rejected this idea of usefulness in 1 Corinthians 12, where he uses the image of the body with the members, right? So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll be jumping through a couple of these verses here. So Paul here explains that the very existence of the body of Christ depends on the diversity of gift the Spirit has given the church. We undermine that Spirit-given diversity when we compare ourselves with others. So in verse 17, he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? And in verse 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? Right, the body would not exist. And more importantly, in response to the claim of usefulness, Paul points out God's sovereignty in the matter. In verse 18, he says, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. So God is sovereign in his designing of all the parts of the body, and he does it for our best interest. So what does this mean for us? We serve in the church where we can. We should thank God for the gifts he has given us. We shouldn't feel useless or discontent merely because we're not serving in some particular way or capacity. There are many ways to serve in this church that are crucial to the health of the church. So I'm not only talking about the use of spiritual gifts here, but also use of physical gifts God has given us. So some members are particularly rich in time, others in resources, others in relationships. And those who are rich can build up the body, particularly through acts of service. So single members who have more time can more easily help other members more, or provide babysitting, or go on short-term mission trips. Those who are rich in resources can particularly help in supporting the church financially. Those who are rich in relationships can help build up the body by helping others find friends, seeking those who may be more introverted, helping to connect with them. The abilities or opportunities that we have to serve can change in various seasons of life, right? If you are in a church for a length of time, you'll likely see the kinds of activities that you're doing change over that whole period, right? Here we're talking about my brother-in-law and his wife just had a new kid, right? The first-time parents, and in the middle of pandemic, and it hits different people differently, but they like literally didn't leave their house for like the first week of having the child. Your family situation is going to affect the kind of ministry that you can do. If you're a young mom with kids, you may feel exhausted and discouraged that you don't have the time to disciple women or volunteer at the church like you did previous to having kids. But that's okay, right? You're in a season now where God has called you to serve him by loving your kids and training them up. On Sunday nights in small group, we'll often pray for members who have interesting evangelistic opportunities. They're sharing the gospel with an atheist they met on the bus, or a Buddhist who sits next to them at work. So don't despair if you feel like you've lost those opportunities that you're primarily working in the home, right? Because the Lord has given you 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 little atheists that you get to evangelize all day long, right? You don't even have to ride the bus to find them. That's right.
It's so true too.
Yeah. So, right, when you're single, you may have a lot more time than if you were in a relationship, right? It's certainly good to desire to be in a relationship, but God may have special work for you in this particular season. You may get to display Christ to the church in a unique way. It's good to desire to keep serving the church even when your life circumstances have changed. So pray about that and see how God might open a door to serve the body in new ways if you are in any sort of new season of life. How have you all seen your ability to serve the church change with your life circumstances. Have you seen your ability to serve the church change with your life circumstances?
I think you kind of hit on it. I mean, in the different times in life, your time or your financial capabilities, your focus changes as you change, as you get older. Our kids are old enough that we don't have to worry about that, right? So if we need to come here and do something, we can do it. We don't have to worry about having somebody to watch.
You got to get a babysitter.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah. This other day, I called John out of nowhere to put some chairs, and he was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, generally, your financial situation changes. Mm-hmm. And so it just, there's different opportunities as you progress through life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And your skill level on things also changes.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You may not know how to work a lawnmower. And then... and you figure it out.
Finances. And
then, yeah.
And they get really good at it.
I mean, there's all kinds of things you can think of. You know, working in the nursery.
Yeah.
Times of your life are easier than other times.
Yeah.
Whatever you think of, in terms of
your house, your home. And we look back at when we first got married, and you couldn't have hosted anybody in our house because it was this big.
Standing room only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's think about another area our service can go wrong. The person who gives up serving because they don't see their contribution as important. Remember, we're thinking about we should serve in the knowledge that everyone's service is needed and valuable. So for the person who doesn't see their contribution as important, they might never understand service to God. We must never understand service to God as valuable primarily because of temporal result, right? But because of what the sacrifice says about God's value to us. Which did Jesus say was more valuable? The widow's 2 copper coins or the thousands given by the wealthy, right? So that raises another question. Does this mean that we can't desire or seek to attain other spiritual gifts? If God is the one who gives us gifts according to his good pleasure, then is it dishonoring him if we ask for gifts that we don't currently have? So Scripture indicates that it is a good thing to earnestly desire spiritual gifts that we don't have yet. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul instructs the Corinthians to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So it is possible to long for spiritual gifts that we don't have without regarding the ones that we do have as useless, right? So this isn't saying, all right, God, this is sit-in until I get the spiritual gifts that I'm desiring, right? That goes back to the first point that we were talking about. But in our current serving, we can pray, we can long for other gifts. This is the balance between contentment and the gracious, sovereign provision of God and the longing for holy yearnings and prayer. So we should be content with the gifts God has given us, but we should also be eager for more. So, considering the value of the entire body service, have you ever been particularly encouraged by what might have been seen as a small service by another church member? Have you ever been particularly encouraged by a small gift of service by another church member?
So, when you say small.
So, small in quotes. That
in the year and a half, you're a small one.
Small.
Okay. Yeah.
John, or not visible, maybe.
I experienced one here. We were in the process of
doing prep work for the new carpet, I think it was.
The benches.
Was it the benches? Yeah, oh, refinishing the benches. Yeah. That's what it was. And
we were brand new here.
Yeah, we were. And for those who remember Joe, he had just had, or was getting ready to have his surgery. He was having a liver?
Yeah.
Liver transplant,
right?
Yeah. And he couldn't do anything. I mean, he was just very frail. But he came anyway. And he just sat in the chair.
And he
prayed for us and encouraged people. And I mean, he couldn't get up and physically do anything, but he was still there. Mm. You know, when you look at it and you think, oh, you know, kind of like you talked about, well, he can't do anything physically, but he could do something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just an encouragement to see he was still willing to come, even though he knew he physically couldn't do any of the work.
Yeah. And what did that teach you about Christ in that moment?
I think that there's, you know, God puts people in different places. He gives them different gifts. He gives them different abilities. And none of them are small, right? Mm. It would seem like a, you know, well, he showed up, but he didn't do any work, right?
He didn't
do any work. But it was still an encouragement to the others who were there.
Yeah.
And gave that example.
Yeah. Mm.
That, you know, you can't look at somebody and go, oh, just because they can't do any work doesn't mean they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Physical work, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. What a great example.
Small, periodically you get cards of encouragement from Frank and Gal. Those are boys. Good.
Yeah.
Just needed it, you know.
So. Yeah,
amen. That's not
really doing a lot, right? But it is. Yeah. Right. All right. Third point I want to get to, we should use our gifts humbly, right? So this is the flip point, the flip side of everybody's gifts are important. In 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20, Paul encourages those members who feel like they might have nothing to contribute. But then in 21 through 26, he cautions those who have been given gifts a greater responsibility to exercise those gifts with humility. In verse 21, we read, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you." Those in positions of greater responsibility or visibility in the church must not lord their authority over others or carry out their duties in with an air of superiority. Unity and diversity is impossible without Christ-like humility. The place that's needed most is those that seem to have the most responsibility or prominence in the church. So when that humility doesn't happen, people can become territorial over a ministry, right? We get to those silos or bitter or suspicious of anyone who might suggest changes. And this does not build unity in the church. And in fact, this will build division. It can be devastating. So our calling is to recognize and honor the service of all members, no matter how visible or invisible. No matter how seemingly significant or insignificant that service might appear to be. A great way for us to do this is to acknowledge the service of others, particularly in areas of ministry that are behind the scenes, sending a card of encouragement or a thank you to someone verbally for such work, whether it's running the sound system, uploading the sermons to the website, or working as our roving hall monitors, the security team.
Hey, do we still upload sermons to the website?
Yes.
That's like a different place for me.
So this lack of humility can be exactly what goes wrong for our fourth point there. Have you ever complained that others in the church aren't doing their fair share? Where does this attitude come from, right? Maybe a poor understanding of the constraints that the others are working under, right? The season of life that they're in. focus is. Maybe it's something that others are willfully neglecting service rather than compassionately giving benefit of the doubt, that maybe they don't know how much joy comes for serving, right? Maybe they're not as mature in their faith in that area. And all of this, the solution for that kind of relationship is humility. Recognize that you're not any better because you serve or where you serve. We all alike deserve God's judgment, yet He has rescued us so that we can now serve Him. Have you particularly seen humility in service in a church before?
Lots of times, sure.
Yeah?
Humility?
Yeah. Any particular examples come to mind? One's too humble to bring up their examples.
Probably the ones we all don't know about.
Yeah. Yep.
What's the question again?
How have you seen service, humble service in the church?
So both these boys here sit in the back of the church every Sunday. They're here and they run that sound system and put those slides, which is used to be really easy, but now it's really complicated.
Breaking on his kids.
Boy, whoever raised them did a good job,
no? No, that's a great example, right? Because when do we look back to the booth, right? We look back to the booth when the mic's not on or right? It's a kind of like, 99% uptime, right? When the service isn't even noticed when it's flowing smoothly.
They do a really good job, yeah.
Yes, they do.
They do.
When they do
it. Humility in everything that Bill does around here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is Tarzan
taking. Yeah. 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 Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I know, in the heat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think we see humility most when we actually have our togetherness. In other words, somebody's got a project they need help with.
Right.
You're not coming in and taking over the project. You know, you're being that humble servant to that leader. You're being a humble servant maybe to a deacon
who's, yeah,
you know, trying to achieve a specific task.
Yeah, and how good is that for our unity, right? It's just not, unity in the church and service is just not possible without humility. All right, so fourth point about our serving we want to consider. We should serve to glorify God and benefit others and ourselves. So our service to church yields several benefits, right? There's benefit to ourselves. There's actually work that Christ is doing in our own hearts when we serve. There's benefits to others, right? When we're serving physical needs, we're meeting physical needs. We're also, most importantly, we are displaying the glory of God. When we serve faithfully, God is glorified because we're simply returning what is His back to Him. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And this is including the strength and time that He gives us. That's why to think about service, you need to think about your whole lifestyle, what you do with every hour, not just Sundays during church. What you do at this time says something about our view of God and what He means to us. So serving also directly benefits others, right? Making a meal provides sustenance. Giving someone a ride to church makes it possible for them to grow under the preaching of the word. Serving at the bookstall helps countless people benefit from godly resources. This is, you know, all obvious when we think about it, but take a moment. Do you want to bring other people joy in their Christian life? When you commit to serve in a particular way and then make good on that commitment, even though that commitment constrains your time and strength, you are working directly for others to grow in joy and in the knowledge of Christ. So that's not all. Our service brings benefits to us. It helps us appreciate the ultimate act of service that Christ did for us, right? The effort that it takes in our small services remind us of how much effort it took for him in his great service. So this makes us less self-focused. But ironically, as it does, God has ordered things that this actually is the way to a life of satisfaction and contentment, right? We can be satisfied and content, not just when we focus on ourselves, but actually when we serve others. When we structure our life so that service is a priority, it forces us to depend more on God for strength. So that's what can go wrong in point number five. The person who serves only slightly because their heart is captured by the world, and they believe that the lie that self-indulgence and self-focus brings greater joy. This mixed priorities keeps them from higher satisfaction of self-sacrifice. Right? Whoever seeks their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will gain. So, let's close out here with some service opportunities here at Stafford Baptist.
All right, let's hear it.
So, as we're talking about service, right, it would be appropriate to list ways that we can serve each other. So there's some formal practical ministries that we always need help with. Child care, right? During the church service, support for teaching during Sunday school is a practical ministry that that is available to many to serve in. We're going to be starting up family meal nights. When's
November
3rd? All right, so there's an opportunity there for cooking, for getting preparing tables. Cleaning dishes, practical ways that we can serve in. Building and grounds. I know that Bill has no shortage of things and projects that he would be grateful for assistance in, many of which likely don't take extremely specialized knowledge to help with.
That's why I'm good at it.
Amen. Amen. So those are some formal, practical ministries that we can serve in. But there's the informal ministries as well that aren't connected to a formal ministry, but just, you know, having people over for dinner, right? You think about relational service that we do to one another, building relationships, have people over for dinner, talking to someone who doesn't know that many folks on the Sunday morning service, right? If we get out here before too much longer, there might be some folks sitting in the sanctuary that you could have a conversation with, or after service, seeking to build relationships, form relationships with those who struggle to form relationships is a great ministry and one that we can always seek to do better here. You know, we're in a transient area, so sometimes that means that we can only see faces periodically. I gotta say, one of the reaching out to folks has always been particularly difficult to me as I tend to be more introverted with those that I don't know. I always remember when Bill and Lois first came, talking to them and their friendliness, and we were able to form a relationship, you know, based just on hearing the word and being in the same proximity of the church. I come to find out like a month or 6 weeks later that Beth and I actually went to college with their daughters. So there was something really special that our relationship wasn't because of that familiarity, but because we were in the same church. We were hearing the same word preached. So we'll always encourage forming relationships, reaching out. I've yet to hear someone get you know, yelled at because they said hi to someone in the sanctuary. And if they did, if someone did yell at you, man, all the more should we form a relationship with them, right? And any other areas of service, particularly in our church, that come to mind?
Page right there, who takes care of the tailors every day, and not everybody knows that, but she does it, and it's important. And you know, that's, she does it selflessly.
I bet there are areas that we can support you in that, right? Even if there's a relational advantage that you have that opens up a specific area of ministry, that ministry is not something that you should be doing alone, that you should have the backing of the church supporting you. Any other particular areas of need that you can think of in the church? All right.
I feel badly if I didn't speak up.
Okay.
The suggestion has been made that we form a team for taking care of buildings and grounds. Mm. So since I have a captive audience, if you'd like to join that team, let me know. It doesn't require you to do anything specific every time you come. Very flexible and accommodate your schedules if you want to be part of the team.
Awesome. And the weather is cooling down. It's very nice outside. Any other questions about our service? How our service fosters unity in the church? All right. Kelton, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Father, we give you praise and thanks for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who came not to be served, but to serve. And that for two, giving his life as a ransom for many. Father, we all this morning benefit from his service to us, not only in his life, his death, his burial, resurrection, ascension, but Lord, his present service to us. Lord, as daily the recipients of his grace, his love, Lord, that we would have strength today, gifts by His Spirit, and strength to serve one another. So, Lord, we do pray that as You have gifted us, as You have given us to one another in this body, Lord, that we would be good stewards of Your very grace to us, Lord, that we would serve one another in love, Lord, for the glory of Christ and for our good, we pray. Amen.
Amen.